Lord, we thank you for what you've given to us as a church. And God, we just ask that you will use me this morning to deliver a message that is empowering to me, Lord, and also to those who hear it, Lord. We just pray that you will just help us to focus on you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, my sister Elise is a devout Catholic. She didn't grow up in the Catholic Church. My family grew up in a non-denominational church. A couple years after she finished grad school, she was feeling led to the Catholic Church and became confirmed soon after that. Since then, she married into a Catholic family and is deepening her roots into the doctrines taught by the church. She's passionate enough about her new findings that she wants to share them with me, and I think that's awesome. I'm happy to hear it, but it seems like her motive may be a little bit more to convert me to Catholicism than, you know, to trust me, I'm good. But my point is, I'm really happy she's sharing that with me. But it got me thinking a little bit about doctrines and theologies and denominations and how they can divide us, even as Christians. We all believe in the same core truths, the essentials that separate us from all the other religions and unbelievers. But why then do we have to have different denominations? Don't those things feel like they're dividing us, where there shouldn't be divisions? Due to a major difference between Catholicism and Reformed theology, the very sacrament of communion is divided in such a way that the very meaning of it is different to both my sister and I. But we follow the same Christ. And I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And it jumps down to verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. In Pennsylvania, in a little mining town Meg, Neil, and I lived in to serve two small congregations, the community recognized the need to bring the different denominations together in what they call the ministerium. It was amazing to see two Catholic priests, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, two more special denominational pastors, and two Greek Orthodox priests coming together to meet the needs of the local community. Almost sounds like all you need to do is have them walking into a bar, and it sounds like you're at the start of a joke. seriously, this little town of no more than 2,000 people, and it had more churches than Clinton has gas stations. One way they would cooperate was in a hospitality network called Family Promise. And this same program is coming to our area, and I'm really excited about that. It's a program that provides temporary lodging to local homeless families. But it gave a new purpose to vacant Sunday school rooms in each of the churches in the community, which would now serve as overnight stays to families while they were able to rebuild their lives. It's really an awesome mission. I recommend, as this is coming to our area, to be a part of this mission because it's a perfect way to see the body of Christ unified. All different churches are working together for this and working to see to serve the needs of the people right here in our own community. On that note, how can we be better governed by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel and serve? We need a simple gospel, the good news of salvation, not embellished with worldly ornaments, which only begin to divide us and distract from the very power of the cross of Christ. We think we can add to a perfect message with eloquent words and our arrogant ideas. No, let the message be preached by remaining steady on God's truth, which through obedience can be made ours. I read a quote on my news feed touching on the need to be tapping into the real power source we have been given. And it says, the less Holy Spirit we have, the more coffee and cake we'll need to keep the church going. I thought that was great. Okay, so how are we going to be unified? How can we simplify the way in which we interact with one another and deliver the message of Christ crucified in a more effective way? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And I'm going to jump to the last verse of 1 Corinthians 13. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. I know we've heard this message many times at weddings, and that's not to slight the importance of it. It's a common passage recited at weddings, because it talks about something we desire to strive for in what some might view as an ideal relationship. It's great to set the bar high in regards to marriage, but I really think this passage touches on something we often overlook, and that is our effectiveness. We can accomplish some of the greatest feats known to mankind, but without this love, we're ineffective. And if we're not effective, we just aren't unified. If we're not using what works, we will all be scattered and left searching for something to fill the void with, like theology. No, I'm just kidding. That's in part. So when we're talking about how we can continue to be effective, we're told the key is this simple elemental concept. Love. It's that easy, huh? I mean, you're telling me it's that simple. All I have to do is just have love, and it's going to be easier to do God's work. Well, I can find a lot about love. You know, I can look in a romance novel or watch a sappy tearjerker on Netflix and find all about love. Well, I guess I should probably avoid those things. It's because the world's definition of love is not exactly God's love. It's not the world's love or even my love that is critical to be effective and unified in our gospel message. And I'm really glad because with my record, I'm not really able to exemplify patience and kindness all the time. So I'm glad it's not me being used as that example. But rather, it's God's love that fulfills the description of character that if we submit to the Lord and let the Lord's love flow through us and our good works, then and only then will we be effective and unified in sharing this good news of Jesus Christ to the world. And let's reread that passage to help us see the truth, and let's bring God's love into it. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but don't have God's love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but don't have God's love, I am nothing. God's love is patient and kind. I missed a verse here. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body up to be burned, but don't have God's love, I gain nothing. God's love is patient and kind. God's love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. God's love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God's love never ends. And this is where I believe we've seen evidence of taking a wrong turn sometimes at a crossroads. Over the years, mainstream Christianity became more about how one church stood out in its beliefs from another church. Funny thing is, we have a lot spelled out for us. We have a whole timeless collection of scripture to tap into to find out about the very character of God. And He wants to use us to help continue reveal Christ, who has begun to be revealed in the very creation we exist in. But he's yearning to bring lost souls back to himself through a gospel message we should be bringing into the world. And this is what Jesus is saying to the religious leaders, the religious Jewish leaders, in John chapter 5. He says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul writes, "If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth." Let's not get in the way of ourselves by overcomplicating things. I mean, and don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that getting into deep, meaningful discussions over the intricate passages of Scripture is wrong or useless. I'm not saying that at all. please dive into the scriptures and let the Holy Spirit guide you into a profound understanding of who God is. But don't respond to it in a way that prevents you from being able to minister to somebody. It's not about how much you read. It's about how you respond to it that counts. Respond by bearing the simple good news message of salvation to someone who really needs it right now. My challenge is this. Use scripture to deepen your relationship with God, but when you go to share it, speak the truth in love, the unifying love of God. Fortunately, my older sister and I can still see past our differences in doctrine and pray together. That's with the rest of my siblings and my parents. We do a conference call once a week, and we pray over each other's lives. And this is made possible because we don't focus on the differences we have, but rather we focus on coming together to show care and concern for one another in prayer. In God's unifying love, we can serve one another. And that's how I want to live. Thanks be to God.